Chapter 7. Chief Wong. The morning sun pierced his bed through a slight gap in the hotel curtains. Jack woke up grimacing. His bedsheets were crumpled from tossing and turning in his sleep. Every fiber of his body reminded him of yesterday's ordeal. He stood up, stretched his stiff back, and inspected himself in front of the large wardrobe mirror. An array of purple, blue, and red bruises greeted him. While some were more sensitive to the touch than others, none were severe. Jack headed to the shower, allowing the scalding water to massage his skin in the hope of washing away some of the pain. The hot water indeed helped ease his tight muscles, but his joints still ached. Afterward, he dressed and checked his phone. A message from Laura informed him that they managed to trace back some of Nick's movements in Xinjiang. Apparently, he had paid for multiple rides spanning several weeks to get around Kuala using Didi Chuxing, the Uber of China, during his trips. This came as no big surprise to Jack and confirmed his suspicion that Nick's travels to the Xinjiang region were focused on the regional capital of the Ba Yingguolong Prefecture. He decided to follow up with Laura after clarifying his next steps with Lei during breakfast. He looked at himself in the mirror one more time. "Let's hope the second day in Beijing beats the first," he muttered to himself, a half-smile playing on his lips. Downstairs, the scent of freshly brewed coffee, scrambled eggs, and ripe fruits filled the breakfast area. The hotel offered a breathtaking variety of buffet options, ranging from continental dishes to English breakfast and traditional Asian cuisine. After picking up a bowl of fruit, Jack was drawn to a stall where a chef was meticulously preparing fresh jianbing. Taking in the enticing aroma when the batter hit the hot plate, Jack's mouth watered as he watched the egg being spread over the thin, golden crepe. The chef added freshly chopped scallions, cilantro, and Sichuan vegetables and folded the jianbing onto a plate. After seasoning it with a glossy layer of sweet soybean paste, he handed it to Jack. Scanning the room to look for a free table, Jack noticed Lei, who was already settled in a corner away from the hustle of the other guests. Lei waved and rose to greet Jack. "Are you holding up all right after yesterday?" Lei asked while shaking his hand. "Considering the circumstances, I'm okay. But the body remembers a good tumble, doesn't it?" Jack replied. "It sure does," Lei smiled. "Please, let's sit." Lei guided him to his table. When seated, he waved at a waiter and ordered a pot of tea for the table. "Ah, Dong Ho Pao. It's been a while since I last had it," Jack said. "Best tea in China, and here they know how to brew it right. You'll like it." "I'm sure I will. And this jianbing, will you just look at that? I didn't know how much I missed them till I smelled one just now." Jack eagerly took a big bite. He slumped back in his chair and let out a satisfied sigh. "Perfect," he exclaimed, closing his eyes and chewing slowly to savor the mix of flavors. He was lost in his thoughts for a moment before he snapped back. "Any news from Huang?" "No issues as expected. The jewel bar was his prized possession, and seeing it shut down hit him where it hurt. It was a message he couldn't ignore." Jack looked uneasy. "Are you sure about that? He made a point yesterday in telling me a story about how he'd let one of his enemies think he'd won only to double-cross him when his guard was down." Lei shook his head firmly. "That might be his style when dealing with his counterparts, but this is Beijing, and we are the police. As I've told you, government oversight is unparalleled here. The triads are only allowed to operate because they offer certain conveniences to the people. Huang will not endanger the little leeway his syndicate has here any further." Jack forked up a piece of fruit. "I hope you are right. How about the woman? If she wasn't working for the Baja Hui, how do we find her?" "I admit it's going to be tricky. Pretty much all high-profile escorts are tied to them one way or the other in Beijing. When a prostitute attempts to work here without giving them their share, she will get in big trouble. But I can put out a few inquiries, see if anyone knows of a freelancer with a death wish, or a new outsider that recently started offering her services and is oblivious to how things are run here."
"Good idea.
I was thinking about visiting some of the restaurants and clubs Nick and I used to frequent back in the day. Maybe someone there has seen him with her. Lay's phone pinged. Hold that thought. He looked at his screen, puzzled. What's the matter? Lay glanced up. It's a high-priority request from the station. They want me back there immediately to report to the chief. And they've specifically asked for you to accompany me. That's odd. It is. I just left the station an hour ago. But it's not a request that can be ignored. We need to head there right away. What about RT? Lay was already rising from his chair. No time for that. Jack sighed. He grabbed his Gen Bing and wrapped it up in a napkin to snack on their way. Beijing's main police station, the Municipal Public Security Bureau, was a fenced-off building in the city's center. Built for bureaucratic functionality rather than aesthetic originality, the six-story building was an unappealing structure with a stone facade monotonously punctuated by windows that spanned the entirety of its expansive front. After passing the security check at the entrance, Lei led them through a crowd of civilians who waited for their turn to speak to officers behind desks. As they made their way through the corridors, he occasionally nodded at colleagues in passing. Jack couldn't help but notice the bows of respect Lei received in return. They passed a security door and ascended a staircase to reach the fifth floor. The area was noticeably quieter, with doors lining each side of a carpeted hallway. A tastefully decorated open space lay at the end of the hallway, adorned with plants, paired couches, and a lone desk in front of a massive double door. Seated behind it was a tall officer. Before they could approach the desk, the man stood up to greet them.
Officer Jung,
Lei gestured toward Jack. This is U.S. Officer Jack Decker. We have been called to the chief.
Of course.
The officer nodded slightly. He pressed a button of his speaker system to announce them.
Let them in,
a voice from the speaker replied. The officer turned on his heel and opened the double door for Lei and Jack, who exchanged a brief glance and stepped into the vast office. The office's side walls were lined with heavy wooden panels covered by numerous photographs. In between an array of stern-faced men in uniform, each representing an era of leadership within Beijing's police force, was a large black-and-white photograph capturing an aerial view of Beijing from the 1960s. Near the center of the picture was the vast expanse of Tiananmen Square, framed by the distinctive structures of the Great Hall of the People and the National Museum. To its north, the rectangular layout of the Forbidden City was clearly visible. Surrounding these landmarks was a dense tapestry of low-rise buildings, their rooftops interweaving with narrow streets and alleyways, evoking an organic, spiderweb-like appearance that was a stark contrast to the expansive boulevards and multi-lane expressways characteristic of modern-day Beijing. The narrow streets were teeming with dots, bicycles that were once the lifeblood of the city's transportation. Only a handful of larger dots hinted at the presence of motor vehicles. At the edges of the city were emergent industrial zones, their organized grids punctuated by tall smokestacks as a silent testimony to Beijing's ambitious march toward modernization. An older, well-dressed man stood contemplatively in front of the photograph with his back to them. He seemed engrossed in the picture's details. Flanking the broad windowed wall opposite the door were imposing potted Chinese banyan trees, their green leaves shimmering in the sunlight. Centered between the plants was a wooden desk with two leather chairs placed in front and one to the side of it. Behind the desk sat the police chief. Lei stepped forward with a straight posture and made a slight bow. Chief Wong. Police Chief Wong Lo nodded in acknowledgement.
Officer Jung. His eyes wandered over to Jack. And Mr. Decker, thank you for your swift response.
He paused, giving them both an appreciative look.
I believe you know our honored guest?
The older man, who had been engrossed in the photograph, turned around to face them. Lei's eyes widened in surprise.
Committee Secretary Liu, he uttered and performed a deep bow.
Liu Jun showed a faint smile. His thin face looked weathered from the years. His large nose held up thick glasses. As the secretary walked over to the chief's desk, Jack noticed a slight limp in his step. Despite his fragile appearance, he was a man of extraordinary power. While Beijing's mayor was the most visible public figure of the city and was in charge of organizing the municipality's day-to-day operations, China's dual administrative system ensured that he was not the most powerful person in Beijing. Instead, that role was reserved for Liu Jun, the CCP Municipal Committee Secretary of Beijing. He was not only the city's top party official, and as such, the main liaison between the city and the central party leadership, he was also responsible for shaping the city's policies that the mayor had to execute in the end. Important decisions concerning the future of Beijing were only taken with his direct input.
"Officer Zhang Li, Mr. Decker," he extended a hand in greeting, his grip firm. "Thank you for coming on such short notice. Please sit."
Lei and Jack took their seats opposite the desk, while Secretary Liu settled into a chair beside the chief.
"Gentlemen," he began with a grave tone, "we've called you here because less than 1 hour ago, we learned of another death following the same patterns you observed in Mr. Mahoney's case."
Lei, usually composed, showed a hint of surprise.
"In what way?"
"To be frank, in every way. The victim was discovered in his bathtub this morning, having seemingly bled out just like Mr. Mahoney did. We believe that the killer has struck again."
The chief let the news hang in the air. Jack finally spoke.
"Who's the victim?"
"Yong Zhe Cheng."
The chief gave Secretary Liu a troubled look. "The owner of Beijing Construction Group?" Lei asked in disbelief.
"Yes."
"He was one of the richest men in the city," Lei exclaimed, stunned. Secretary Liu cleared his throat.
"Zhe Cheng was also a close personal friend. I had a meeting scheduled with him this morning. When he did not show up, my personal assistant reached out to his assistant. That's when I learned that Zhe Cheng had been found dead this morning. I immediately came here to talk to Chief Wong to make sure that finding the murderer was his highest priority. That was when I was informed that he has you two already investigating a similar murder."
Liu looked at the chief.
"I want to know who killed my friend, and if there is any connection to Mr. Mahoney's death. And I want your best man on the case."
"I can assure you, Secretary Liu, that our best man will be on this case."
He gestured at Lei.
"That is good to hear."
Liu turned to Jack.
"And I want Mr. Decker in on this investigation as well."
Chief Wong was taken aback.
"Secretary Liu, to facilitate good relations and because of his personal insights, we allowed Mr. Decker to assist Officer Zheng in solving Mr. Mahoney's murder. The death of Mr. Young is, however, an internal affair. Mr. Decker has no reason to get involved."
Liu ignored the chief's objection and continued to look at Jack.
"Mr. Decker, from what I understand, Mr. Mahoney was your friend?"
"That is correct."
"Then I want Mr. Decker on the case,"
Liu instructed the chief.
"Chief Wong, it is likely that Zhe Cheng has been murdered by the same killer as Mr. Mahoney. I should not have to point out that Mr. Decker's insights into Mr. Mahoney's past could thus be useful to solve both murders."
Liu looked back at Jack again.
"Mr. Decker and I share the same grief over a lost friend. Grief is a strong motivator. Make sure Officer Zheng and Mr. Decker get the full support of the department. I want to be personally updated as soon as there are any new developments."
Wong nodded. "Yes, Secretary,"